R-E, California, 93274. And we will send you a copy of this must-see, must-share DVD, Loose Change, the best darn documentary produced in the 911 Truth Movement. Make sure you don't miss it, and tell everyone you know. Sometimes our .com server goes down, so don't forget, we have a backup, FirstAmendmentRadio.net. Listening across the border. My name is Nicholas, and the purpose of this program these days is to go through the scripture. We are in the book of Leviticus, and we've been talking about how the law was nailed to the cross, or at least they're wishing and hoping that it was in the corporate church, because that's generally what people have been taught and what they believe. But if you have the patience to go through the entire scripture and compare it and to rightly divide the word, you realize that the New Testament brought no new law, neither did it do away with any of the old law. You realize that there is not two separate gods, the God of the New Testament and the God of the Old Testament. I've heard those phrases before, but he is the same. You know, today, yesterday, and forever. He's always been the same. He became a man. He dwelt among us, and he laid down his life for us and shed his blood and paid the price for our sins. And that's why his name means our Creator is our salvation. That's why he was given the name above all names, because he was given the name of the Creator. And the name not only of the Creator, but the name that says that the Creator is our salvation, which is Yahushua, which means Yahuwah is our salvation. So our Creator is our salvation. He is the same. He didn't bring anything new in. A lot of people consider that he brought a lot of new stuff in and things that had never been revealed before. And in a way he did. He brought things in and gave us an understanding that people didn't seem to have before. Of course, the mysteries, you know, that were hidden from the foundation of the world. He opened our eyes to a lot of things that were here all the time. And as we go through the Old Testament, though we may not have understood before he came and gave us the revelation of those things, they were there, and we're seeing them now. He said, you know, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Yahushua said that. But here I read it in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 18, and it says, you shall love thy neighbor as thyself. Say the same thing. Everything he said, I've been finding in the Old Testament. Of course, a lot of the parables and illustrations that he drew, well, those, you won't find the exact things, but you will find the principles of the law which he drew on are all from the Old Testament. He did not change the law or bring in a new law, but he did fulfill much of the law, and specifically the priest tabernacle sacrifice system. That has been fulfilled, and not done away with, but fulfilled. and he fulfilled it so that we do not have to offer the animals and go through all the rituals of the sacrificial system, because he paid the price once for all. He was the sufficient sacrifice. Let's jump back into our text here. And that's about where we were. That's where we left off. Whosoever lieth carnally with a woman that is a bondmaid, betrothed to a husband, and not at all redeemed, nor freedom given her, she shall be scourged. They shall not be put to death because she was not free. And I really don't believe that this statute is about rape. But I believe that it is about consenting adults, or at least for the most part, consenting adults. But what we have here is a woman who is betrothed but hasn't come together with her husband yet. But now, if a woman was betrothed but hadn't come together with her husband, but she was a free woman, then it was adultery. But in this case, it seems to be a difference because she's a bondmaid, because she's not free. She's not a free woman. So in that case, for whatever reason, they're making a differentiation. Now, but if she had been not only betrothed to her husband, but had come together with her husband, then it would make no difference at all. So I see that there's a distinction being made here, perhaps for a particular case or a few particular cases that were in the land or things that had been judged, that this is being brought forward. Because it says she's betrothed to a husband, and not at all redeemed, nor freedom given her, she shall be scourged. So she's to be punished, and it says they shall not be put to death. Because, of course, the punishment for adultery, well, it was a capital crime. They were both to be put to death. And I would assume that if she is to be scourged, then the man is to be scourged too, because it says she was not free. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto Yahuwah, unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, even a ram for a trespass offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering before Yahuwah, for his sin which he hath done, and the sin which he hath done shall be forgiven him. And when ye shall come into the land, and shall have planted all manner of trees for food, then you shall count the fruit thereof as uncircumcised. That means unclean, like the unclean animals. 3 years it shall be as uncircumcised to you. It shall not be eaten of. So if you plant a vineyard of trees, for 3 years you're not to eat of it. But in the fourth year, all the fruit thereof shall be holy to praise Yahuwah withal. So you're supposed to give it all to the Heavenly Father in the fourth year. And in the fifth year shall you eat of the fruit thereof, that it may yield unto you the increase thereof. I am Yahuwah your God. You shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall you use enchantment. So we have here again the blood being repeated. And as we discussed and discovered, that's even a statute for the believers of the other nations, who they call themselves Gentiles, because the word Gentile simply means nations, but of the other nations, they were to abstain from blood too. And I gave you the reference for that yesterday. If you missed that, I give it to you again here. Let me get my pointer over there and so I can see it. And it actually went there. That would be Acts 15:28, if you want to find out that even the Gentiles. Now, will this thing go back? This touchpad is way too sensitive. Now I got to go back to where it was and find my place. But there it is, Acts 15:28, if you want to look into that. Okay, let me get back to where I was now. Okay, chapter 19, verse 26, you shall not eat anything with the blood. Neither shall you use enchantment. And what is enchantment? Nor observe times. Okay, the enchantment means to, hiss, to whisper a spell, to prognosticate. So we're not to use enchantment, to get the idea there, to cast spells or whatever. or any type of magic. And it says here, nor observe times. What does that mean? Act covertly. Well, I'm not certain what that means here. It says here, a soothsayer or sorcerer, to observe. And I guess it being coupled with enchantment, to cast spells. And, well, I guess I don't know enough about the dark arts to really comment very much on that. I pretty much stay away from all that stuff myself. Nor observe times. Perhaps that has to do with the zodiac. Is this a good day to do this or a good day to do that? And using enchantment to get wisdom as to when you should go to war or when you should engage in a business or when you should cruise the bar to pick up chicks. I don't know. But you get the idea. Use enchantment and observe times. You shall not round the corners of your heads, neither shall you mar the corners of your beards. Okay, well, this would be a lesser commandment. And I don't think this is in the same class as visiting a witch or having a palm reader or using enchantments. I think this is a total different class of sin. I think this would be another one of the examples of the least commandments. Okay, the least commandments. Because really, you know, if the land where I live, most people practice this as a routine. They have an appointment with their barber, you know, once every 2 weeks or once a month or whatever. And they go on a regular basis and the hair on their head is tapered and, you know, and all shaped, and they always look the same. You know those people. You may be one of those people. Like some of the, even Christian sites, you know, where you're supposed to meet other Christians and perhaps you might find a mate, right? And these women will put down one of the attributes they're looking for is clean cut. Well, that's what they're talking about. They want you to be clean cut. They want your hair to always be the same. They want your face shaved as smooth as a baby's butt. Clean cut. Right? That's what it means. And I always tell them, I'm clean, but I ain't cut. You know, that's how I would describe myself. I'm clean, but I ain't cut. And I ain't cut out of nobody's mold. I'm not always going to look the same. You know, it may be time between the times that I shave my face and I just shave it all off or whatever. And my hair, well, I let it grow to my shoulders, and then perhaps in the spring I'll cut it up so I'll be more comfortable through the summer. But I am not clean cut. I am clean, but I ain't cut. But that's what this is about. This is one of the least commandments. And, you know, and I think what our Heavenly Father is saying here is he doesn't want us to spend a lot of time primping in the mirror over how we look. You know, making sure that our beard or mustache are exactly perfect, or that our entire face is bare like a baby's butt, and that the corners of our hair is rounded perfectly. And if it gets too long, oh my goodness, we got to run down to the barber and get it cut and tapered just perfectly and rounded, and, you know, not a hair out of place. You know, that I think what our Heavenly Father is saying here is that he doesn't want us to do that. He doesn't want us to be so vain. You know, perhaps the Heavenly Father wants you to have a man that isn't so cut. Okay? And perhaps, you know, maybe you're vain and you need a vain man. I don't know. But like I said, I would liken this to the least commandments. And I think that most people do this just because that's what they were taught to do. That's because that's what their father or their mother taught them to do. And so that's what they do. Or they do it because their mother and father did it. So they do it as a matter of habit. A matter of... that's the way their family did it. So that's the way they do it. So it's a habitual thing. And they're accustomed to it. So, but he says, you shall not round the corners of your beards, of your heads, and neither shall you mar the corners of your beard. So, no primping in the mirror every day to make sure everything is perfect. I think actually what he's saying here is that I made you, I like you. I like you the way I made you. Stop messing with it, you know. And I think we find more of that as we go on. So, you shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. So, apparently, some of the pagan practices, perhaps in Egypt, is that they'd make cuts in their flesh for the dead. So, any cutting in your flesh. But he says, nor print any marks upon you. So, tattoos are definitely out. If you have a tattoo, it's okay. You know, you're not going to go to hell because you have a tattoo. But our Heavenly Father's not pleased when you mess up his work, when you mar his canvas. It doesn't please him. If he wanted you to have pictures on you, I think he would have put pictures on you. And I've seen some pretty darn gross tattoos, I'm telling you. And probably half the people out there who have tattoos, by some point in their life, wish they never had them. And I've seen some, just, you know, why do people put tattoos on them? Well, it's a matter of expressing yourself, right? How come we have to express ourselves by disobedience to the Heavenly Father? Well, you know, I'd rather express myself by obedience to Him, because I think I need to be careful about what my expression of myself is saying about me. I would rather have the expression of myself say that I am one who is obedient to the Heavenly Father. That's what my expression, I want my expression to be. So yeah, do express yourself. Express yourself in godliness. Let the world know that you reverence the Creator of the universe. Let the world know that what pleases Him is important to you. Express yourself. Please do. I mean, everyone does in one way or another anyway. Okay, let's see. You shall not make cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you. I am Yahuwah. Do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am Yahuwah. And that reverence the sanctuary, I think they got a good taste of that when the two sons of Aaron were struck dead. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am Yahuwah, your God. And what is a familiar spirit? Well, a lot of people go to these, what do they call them, seances. Or somebody will channel a spirit, and they'll hear something that no one else could know. So this spirit must be the spirit of their family. You notice the word familiar has the same root as familial or family. So, and that's how they trap these people. Of course, there are demons out here. And they know they're familiar spirits because they travel around with families. When one family member dies, these demonic spirits, oh well, they'll try to stick to the same family where they feel comfortable. So perhaps they'll latch on to a daughter or a son of the one that died, or they'll go on to a grandchild of the one that died. They're familiar spirits. And see, the key is that they are familiar with the loved ones that died. So when you go to a seance or something like that, and the spirit that knew your deceased relative and tells you something about them that is familiar, then you go, oh wow, it must be my dead one. No, it's a demon tricking you. That's what it is. You're engaging with demonology. Your loved ones, as the scripture says, the dead know nothing. You know, when your dead relative goes into the ground, you have no more contact with them in this life. You won't see them till the resurrection if they have repented and they are living in his kingdom. Then they will be resurrected, or perhaps you'll see them in the second resurrection, which is the one where you don't want to be. And we'll talk more about that on some other occasion. But anyway, we're talking about familiar spirits, so that's what it is. So regard not them that have familiar spirits. So you would have these people that would go around, and these spirits would know things, and you'd go, oh, they know something, so I better talk to them and find out what they know. Well, he says, don't regard them. Give them no regard at all. Don't be defiled by them. I, Yahuwah, am your God. You shall rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am Yahuwah. So the hoary head, referring to the one with gray hairs, and in context here, we're coupling it, honor the face of the old man. Rise up. When an old man comes in, you rise up and honor them. This is a statute. This is a commandment. But we see the opposite in the land where I live. They despise the old. The old are something, are people to be put away out of our sight and given no honor at all. And perhaps when we look around and we see what a lot of the old have allowed to happen to the liberty that this nation once knew, perhaps they don't deserve any honor. But I'm not here to make that judgment. But in our family, in his kingdom, we need to keep his commandments. It says, you shall rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God, I, Yahuwah. And if strangers sojourn with thee in your land, you shall not vex him. So you're not to take advantage of the stranger because he doesn't have anyone among you or that he is alone. But the stranger that dwelleth with you shall be unto you as one born among you. And you shall love him as yourself. For you are strangers in the land of Egypt. I am Yahuwah your God. So anyone from any nation could come into the kingdom of Israel here, this kingdom that's being described in this law here, and they were to be accepted. Of course, if they were a male, they would be circumcised, and they would become, because they were sojourning among. They weren't allowed to come in and bring their pagan idolatry and so forth. That is not sojourning among. That's called invasion. So there's a difference between an invasion and sojourning among. If they come to sojourn among us, that means they become one of us. If they invade us, that means they come in and they bring a different culture in. So there's a difference between an invasion and someone that comes to sojourn among the people. I would make that distinction, definitely. You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meta yard, in weight, or in measure. So, just weights and just measures. And, in keeping accurate records of the land, you weren't allowed to move the landmark. Say, your neighbor's land, you had a rock set up and said, this is the corner of our property where it comes together. You couldn't go out and move the landmark, you know, onto your neighbor's land so that your land is enlarged. So, and just weights, of course. Your weight always had to be the same. You know, a shekel was a shekel, a pound was a pound, an ounce was an ounce. So no unjust weights and measures. A just balance, just weights. A just ephah, a just hin, shall you have, I am Yahuwah, your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am Yahuwah. Chapter 20. And Yahuwah spoke unto Moses, saying, again thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, again, whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that giveth any of his seed unto Molech, He shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. So anyone who practices any form of abortion, infanticide, would surely be put to death. Giveth any of his seed unto Molech. And we discuss that the whole purpose of giving their seed to Molech was the same purpose that people practice birth control, abortion, infanticide today. The motivations have not changed at all. But here, it's a capital. The capital punishment is prescribed for this. Put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he hath given his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. And, you know, our Heavenly Father, he loves children and he loved his families. He loved the families to be big and he loved the people to have plenty of children. Children were a blessing, he said. And I know they teach something different in the land where I live today, in the public school system. They teach you that other things are more important, that you have to get it all together before you come and have a family, that you have to be sure. But no, I think that what Yahushua said should have preeminence. He said, seek first the kingdom of heaven, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these things, and he was speaking about all the things that you need will be added to you. So we seek his kingdom first, and he provides everything we need. That's the promise. If we put his kingdom first before everything else, then he will take care of us. He will provide for our children. He will provide everything that we need. What are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to drive? Where are we going to live? All of those things, he says, leave them to me. I will provide all of your needs. And that's his promise. We'll be back after these messages.
Men and women who I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation under the heavenly Father with grace, mercy, and justice for all.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the Internet and following the instructions there to support us. Thank you for listening.
Your area has just unexpectedly flooded. The power's out, so is the water, and you are thirsty. But wait, outside, look, there's lots of water, and then you see it.
Oh my gosh! What is that floating in the water? And what is that odor?
No problem. You thought ahead and own a Berkey water purification system. Berkey has revolutionized the way water is purified simply and naturally. Requiring no power, electricity, or water pressure, the powerful black Berkey elements extract pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, chemicals, heavy metals, and other nasties that might be found in flood water. Berkey systems can purify treated water during normal times, and during unexpected emergencies, they can get rid of the unhealthy stuff in raw, untreated water.
For more information on the powerful Berkey line of products, call First Amendment Radio at 559-781-3773 or order on the web at firstamendmentradio.com.
Should company with something so divine. Mercy waits, overjoyed, prospects of finding freeing me. Love is a thing this time, I'm sure.
Welcome back. You're listening to the program. It's called Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. We're going through the Bible, and we've landed in Leviticus chapter 20, about verse 4. And if the people of the land do anyways hide their eyes from the man when he giveth of his seed unto Molech, and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut him off and all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. So, here we have it. Those that commit abortion, those that abort their children, were to be cut off out of the land of Israel. They were to be put to death. This is an abomination to our Heavenly Father. This has not changed. It's still an abomination. But he certainly did not want it in his kingdom, in the land of the nation that was called after him. They were called Yahudim. They were named after him. They were the people called by his name. They were Israel. But the rest of the world called them the Yahudim. And they were not allowed to do this. And if anyone, he says, and he warns them twice, he says, first he says, whoever does it shall be put to death. The people of the land will stone him with stones. And then he says, if you do not kill him, if you do not kill people who bring in abortion, who practice giving their seed to Molech, that is sacrificing their children in any manner, then I will set my face against the man, his family, and will cut him off. And all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among their people. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits. So it's pretty dire. Our Heavenly Father is not happy with abortion, sacrificing children, infanticide in any way that would be practiced. Because he says children are a blessing. And people who want to kill their children before they're born are saying that he's a liar, that children aren't a blessing. They may be a blessing to the Heavenly Father, but they're not a blessing to me. And what are you saying? You're saying, I don't like God. I don't want to be like him. The things that are important to him aren't important to me. I don't believe that he'll provide for me, so I have to provide for myself. If I have this child now, how will I provide for it? I don't trust the Heavenly Father to keep his word. Of course, you could say, okay, you know, I'm going to leave it up to you. You are the God of the universe. You are the God of reproduction in my life. You are the God of when and when we will not have a child. And you're responsible for this child also, because your word says you will be. That if I seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, then you're going to provide everything I need. And I believe that. That's what living by faith is. That's what faith really is. When we believe his word and we live in obedience to that belief. That's true faith. Faith is not some ethereal, you know, quality of some untouchable thing out there that we feel. No, faith is a real thing. Faith is action. Faith says, I believe in what the Heavenly Father says, so I obey that belief. I live like his word is true, that I trust his word. Because he said it, I'm going to do it, because I believe that's the best thing for me. That's real faith. A lot of people, like, they think love, faith, and hate are some unknown quantity, that they're just a feeling. And it's like honor, too. They think that honor, they've taken all these things and relegated them to feelings and unknowable qualities of things they can't understand. You know, they want to fall in love rather than rise in love. Because if you fall in love, you're just talking about feelings. You're talking about infatuation. You're talking about the emotion, the feeling when you're falling in love. But if you rise in love, well, you're going to love your neighbor. You're going to love your wife and your children and your family when they're unlovable. That's rising in love. And that makes it, when they're lovable, that makes it much better, too, if you can love them when they're unlovable. That's why there's so much divorce and disintegration in the family, is because people don't rise in love. They fell in love, and when the feelings are gone, well, you've heard they have all the romantic songs. Romance is idolatry. I've said it 1,000 times, and there it is again. You have to rise in love. In romance, you fall in love. In agape, you rise in love. There's the vast difference between the two. Romance is idolatry. Agape is commanded by our Heavenly Father. It requires us to give. It requires us to love when it is difficult. And if the people of the land do in any ways hide their eyes from the man, okay, they give his seed to Moloch, I will kill him not, then I will set my face against that man, against his family, and will cut him off and all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Moloch from among their people. And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits, and after wizards, and go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul, and will cut him off from his people. Sanctify yourselves, therefore. See, set yourselves apart. That's what sanctify means. Set yourselves apart. Sanctify yourself. Set yourself apart from these things, as I am commanding you. That's what he's saying. Therefore, and be ye holy, for I, Yahuwah, am your God, and you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am Yahuwah, which sanctifies you. For everyone that causes his father or his mother, or that curses his father or mother. So, you know, the opposite of disobedience. For everyone that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He had cursed his father and his mother. His blood shall be upon him. I was listening to a debate, I don't know exactly when, a short time back, and this unbeliever brought up this verse. Do you think that everyone that swears at his father and mother should surely be put to death? Because that's what the law requires. Well, There were no police going around and waiting for someone to curse. Everything was done voluntarily. Even the neighbors who, if someone offered their children to Molech, they were to come and stone them and utterly put them to death. I mean, they were murderers. I mean, capital punishment is capital punishment. So capital punishment for abortion should not surprise us. And we can draw on another example, the example of the prodigal son. There was a prodigal son who, well, it doesn't say that he cursed his father or his mother, but he definitely disobeyed his father. He did not do what his father wanted him to do, but he took and he squandered his inheritance. So, in a way, he didn't honor his father and his mother, but he was not put to death. His father was happy when he repented of his ways and he came back into the household. Oh, so, if there is someone out here that is treating their parents bad, cursing them continually, beating them, taking advantage of them, you know, pretty much committing what is called elder abuse. I guess they would call that elder abuse today. And, you know, you can see if it's a problem today, it was a problem then. And I believe in cases like that, that yes, this is what the law is drawing on here, cases like that. It wasn't like if a man was mostly good and honoring his parents and he obeyed them most of the time, where he rose up and perhaps had a disagreement and he swore, you know, in some kind of disagreement with his parents and cursed them, that they would call for the police to put him to death or stone him. So you can see that the law is given as a guide to live by. It's giving as a warning of, these are the things that I do not want in the land. These are the things that displease me. This is what this is worthy of, that a man who hates his father and his mother in his heart is a murderer, basically. I mean, that's really, if we spend the time to really look at it and take the whole scripture into consideration and everything else in the scripture that we can bring in here and take it into consideration, we get the reality of the commandment. So this is important to our Heavenly Father. It is so important to Him that we honor and obey our parents, whether we're young children or whether we're grown. If our grown parents command us to do something and it doesn't go against the law of our Heavenly Father, then we should do it. Because why should we do it? Because it's an act of obedience to our Heavenly Father. And even if we don't think it's a wise decision, guess what? If we do it by faith, because our Heavenly Father says that we should honor and obey them, then He will bless us. Then He becomes responsible for the situation that the obedience requires. Can we trust Him? Do we trust Him? Do we love Him? Do we think He loves us? Then why would we not want to obey? Why would we rather judge and not be obedient? Now, of course, if your parents are asking you to do something ungodly or that goes against His law, then you have to make that judgment too. And a lot of people, and they may be asking you to do something that they don't judge against His law because they don't understand His law, but I understand His law differently because I understand many things that are easily accepted by even those that think they're godly or call themselves Christians that have been in corporate churched all their lives. That I understand that those things, some of those things are against God's law. Some of the very things that I've heard preachers uphold in the pulpit as being godly things that break His law. Imagine that. Stick around long enough and you'll hear all the specifics, but right now we're going to stay here in Leviticus. Okay. Everyone that curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death, and the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, okay, and see, they have words added here, the another, with a man's wife, so it's defining adultery. Adultery is when you lie with another man's wife. Adultery is always defined by the wife of another man, with a woman who is married to another man. If there's no married woman in a situation, then it's not adultery. That's the law. Okay? That's what it says here. And the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. They were both to be put to death. And that reminds me of the situation where they tempted the Messiah, Yahushua, and they brought the woman and said she was caught in the very act of adultery. And they brought her to him to tempt him in judgment. What was wrong with the picture? They brought the woman. If she was caught in the very act of adultery, that means that they caught a man too. But where was the man? Who was the man? Perhaps it was one of them that tricked a married woman so that they could bring her. Who knows? We're not given those details, but the details were given as they brought the woman that they didn't bring the man. They said they caught her in the very act. Well, okay, so Yahushua, they made him a judge there, and they set up a court around him right there and said, "You're the judge. This is the court. We're the witnesses. We caught her in the very act of adultery." Well, their case is insufficient because they don't have the man. They have an insufficient case for adultery. That's the true, that would be the true nature of the situation in that case, is that they had insufficient evidence. How does a married woman commit adultery by herself? It can't be done. They said they caught her in the very act, but they didn't bring the man. So how could he condemn one if half of the evidence and half of the other party isn't there? So he made a righteous judgment. Well, he didn't even make a judgment. He says, "Let whoever's without sin among you, let them cast the first stone." So I said, yeah, adultery is capital punishment. Go ahead, stone her. But let him who is without sin amongst you, let them cast the first stone. Well, of course, they all walked away. And he told the woman, he said, "You go your way. All your accusers are gone. Go your way and sin no more." You know, enter the kingdom. Put his kingdom first and his righteousness. It's always his righteousness. He didn't say go your way and continue in whoredom, or go your way and adultery is okay, so that, you know, now today that adultery is not against the law. No, it's still a capital capital crime today, according to his law it is. And if you don't pay the price in this lifetime, I'm certain that if you don't repent and lay your guilt upon the Lamb of God, that you will suffer, because you surely will die, and you will die in your sin if you don't repent. So, it's all sin is a capital crime. But these sins that he is calling here in the law capital crimes, where people were to be put to death immediately, that their blood was required then, and there by their brethren were supposed to enforce the law of God immediately, and their mortality was required under that circumstance. Though we see that that didn't happen most of the time. Okay, let's see. The man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. Chapter 20, verse 11, "And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them." And of course, this is if the woman was willing. Of course, if a boy rapes a woman, or rapes another man's wife, and we see that there is judgment is required in the law. So that this is not the case. These are not the cases of rape where someone is forced. "And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them." If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with womankind, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. So they were required to kill adulterers and homosexuals. Those were capital crimes. If a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire. If he and they, that there be no wickedness among you, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and you shall slay the beast. And if a woman approacheth unto any beast to lie down thereunto, thou shalt kill the woman and the beast, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them. And if a man shall take his sister, his father's daughter, and that is different than his mother's daughter by a different father. They're making a distinction here. So if a man take his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness. So if it was his father's wife's daughter, but not his mother or father, then you get the idea. You can't take a sibling as a spouse from your own father and mother or either of them. So if a man shall take a sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, and see her nakedness, and she see his nakedness, it is a wicked thing. They shall be cut off in the sight of their people. He hath uncovered his sister's nakedness, he shall bear his iniquity. And if a man lie with a woman, having her sickness, and shall uncover her nakedness, he has discovered her fountain. And, of course, we're talking about the period. And, of course, the fountain is the blood when she's purging the egg in her, period. And he has uncovered the fountain of her blood. Both of them shall be cut off from among their people. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor of thy father's sister, for he uncovereth her, his near kin. So actually, we're repeating the incest statutes here again. Many of these statutes are being repeated again here in Leviticus. And if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he has uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin. They shall die childless. And if a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless. And, of course, he's talking about his brother's wife in his brother's lifetime. Because if a man died, his brother was required to take his wife by the law and take her in to be his wife and raise up seed to his brother. That was the commandment. You shall therefore keep all my statutes, all my judgments, and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out. And you shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them. But I have said unto you, you shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it, a land that floweth with milk and honey. I am Yahuwah your God, which have separated you from other people. You shall therefore put a difference between clean beasts and unclean, and between the clean fowls and the clean. You shall not make your souls abominable by beasts or by fowl or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean. And you shall be holy unto me, for I, Yahuwah, am holy, and I have severed you from the people, that you should be mine. A man or also that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. And the word wizard there is like a male witch. That's what I would gather from it. A conjurer of spirits, a knowing one. Okay, they shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. And Yahuwah said unto Moses, speak unto the priests, the sons of Aaron, and say unto them, There shall none be defiled for the dead among his people. And, of course, this is referring back to pagan practices. But for his kin that is near to him, that is, for his mother and for his father, and for his son and for his daughter and for his brother and for his sister, a virgin that is nigh unto him, which hath had no husband, for her may he be defiled. So now I'm trying to be defiled for the dead. Okay, there shall none be defiled for the dead among his people. But he shall not defile himself, being a chief man among his people, to profane himself. I'm not really certain what's going on there, or perhaps whether this translation doesn't seem to be getting the point across, whatever it is. Maybe I need to look at it a little more closely. Okay, we're talking about the priest here. That's the difference. That's what I wasn't getting. Speak unto the priests, the sons of Aaron. Okay, so the priests weren't to handle the dead, of course. So they weren't supposed to be the what do you call the people that handle the dead? The what do you call those people? I can't even remember what you call them. You know, the guys that take care of the funerals and so forth. Anyway, they weren't supposed to do that, but they could do it for their own kin. So they were allowed to prepare the dead of their kin for burial. And we're going to have to pick up here next time because we just ran out of time. Crosstheborder.org. I've got an email link there. I would like to hear from you.
Though Satan should